Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Simply the best for less at WindowsKansasCity.com.
The presidential address was so dull, we're starting with draft day on KKHI. Not your normal draft discussion, but something a little crazy. The Chiefs don't get a selection in round one, and of course, everyone in round one is looking to catch Kansas City. So we asked the question, what would any of these teams picking on day one give the Chiefs for Patrick Mahomes? Now, of course, the Chiefs wouldn't take anything, but let's have some fun anyway. The Royals get the split in Pittsburgh as the bats come to life. Soler with a big night, Dozier hitting it hard, Salvi with three hits. I love it. A day off to rest up, and now Kansas City plays 17 straight in the division. Let's do it. 23 games in the division by the end of May, and we should have a great look at what this race is going to look like all season long. And I'm calling Biden's address the State of the Un-address. They said it would be something short of a State of the Union, and they weren't lying. Uninspiring, unimportant, unimpressive State of the Un-address. It was a farce. A room full of fully vaccinated swamp creatures wearing double masks sitting 6 feet apart, half of them falling asleep. This is such a joke. Biden was bad, and his policies are worse, but our leaders have never looked worse than this. Both sides of the aisle. Old, tired, sick, coughing, cell phones going off. It was a 90-minute infomercial for needing term limits. Coming right up on KKHI. Brought to you by Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick GMC in Excelsior Springs. Roberts Robinson's customers say, we just make it easy. Ask for Mike or Tim on the showroom floor or go online at robertsrobinson.com. You're going to see a nice inventory there of Acadia. He's got some Sierras, GMC Sierras in stock. Silverado, you got it. Let's go and let's get on it. At robertsrobinson.com. Tremendous selection right now of Buick SUVs. These the smaller SUVs, luxury SUVs, great little SUVs that Buick makes. Experience the new Buick. Available in nice quantities right now at robertsrobinson.com. They're going to save you money. They'll deliver that car right to where you live. If you don't want to go to the dealership, they'll bring it right to you. They really don't care where you live. You can work it out all with them online and on the phone at robertsrobinson.com. Elite Automation, designing and installing intelligent building systems that can save you thousands off your utilities. If you know somebody that's in mechanical contracting, operates in buildings, does maintenance within buildings, if you're in the building maintenance industry, if you're in the building management industry, if you own properties, get a hold of Elite Automation. They can save you big money. This doesn't cost you money. It saves your company money big time. Online at EliteAutomate.com. Call Brad or one of the team members. Brad's one of these co-founder at Elite Automation. 766-2188. Just dial him up. 913-766-2188 or online at EliteAutomate.com. BStock.net, your online electronic superstore, will save you money every single time now with an outlet store in Olathe at 14680 South Flaming Road. How about this? For the next week, here's their special at BStock, the Samsung TU-8000. This is an 85-inch television. Woo! At Best Buy, it's $19.99. On Best Buy's discount website, they've taken $200 off. They have it for $17.99. Okay? BStock right now, $11.99. That's $600 cheaper than Best Buy. And if you live in the 435 loop or around the 435 loop, free delivery from BStock. Save $600 and they bring you your 85-inch TV. Who does that? BStock.net. The phone number's there. So are the directions to the outlet store in Olathe. 14680 South Flaming Road. Jump on that baby. 85-inch Samsung, $11.99, and they deliver it for free. It's all on KKHI. All right, the presidential address was dull. We're going to address it. It's serious. You'll like what I've got to say. We're going to save that for second. Let's have some fun with draft day. Since the Chiefs aren't taking part in this, what would any of these rummies in the first 10 picks do to have somebody like Patrick Mahomes? We asked the question. Hit it!
Back 9 Development is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues online at back9development.com.
Well, Joe Biden's speech was so uninspiring and unpresidential and unimpressive, I'm calling it the State of the Un-Address. And because it was so bad, the State of the Un-Address will not be the lead here at KKHI on this episode. We're going to start with something fun, as it's draft day in the National Football League. and start with sports today, because if you were able to sit through that speech last night and watch it all, I thought it was going to make my blood boil and I was going to get all upset and everything. It's so embarrassing and so bad and so uninspiring, I couldn't even muster that up. So we're going to start with some fun here today and lighten things up a little bit, because it's a sad state of affairs, but we will talk about the state of the un-address coming up later in the podcast. I've got some pretty strong thoughts on it, as I'm sure you do too. Many of you have emailed, we're texting on social media, things like that. So we'll have a little bit of fun with that. But I thought we'd really try something different here today. And I've never really, you know, tried to frame a way to really demonstrate how silly the NFL draft can be at times. And it's not. Look, tonight's the first round, Thursday night is the first night of the draft. And everybody likes the first round, and we'll see who the stars are. And we believe four quarterbacks are going to go in the top 10. We don't know. You know, there's a lot of pressure on the Jaguars, as far as I'm concerned. You got all these quarterbacks could go in the top seven or eight picks, top 10, four of them. You got to get this one right. I mean, you have to get it right. And that it seems like Trevor Lawrence is the easy pick, right? That this is easy. He's better than all the other guys, but you don't know that. Patrick Mahomes was picked 10th. The Chiefs traded up. They thought he was the best quarterback, but nine other teams didn't think he was very good. Actually, 10 other teams, because Buffalo made the trade. So a lot of teams didn't think Patrick Mahomes was that good. This is not scientific, and it starts early. You get in your mind early that Trevor Lawrence is the guy, and then you can't talk yourself out of it. And you realize that, you know, you're making millions of dollars a year as a general manager or as a coach, and all your fans want you to get this guy, and so you do it. And you just kind of get blinded by the whole thing. Which is why I think sometimes the draft is a little bit absurd. And I thought, since the Chiefs are not involved in the first round of the draft, we'd have a little fun on what it would take to get the Chiefs into the first round of the draft on Thursday night. And just to demonstrate an example of how important the position of quarterback is and how unimportant everything else is, including depth in drafts, all the other positions, all the things teams try to do, I was just kind of fiddle farting around and asking myself the question. I just think it's an interesting question. And I don't have the answer to all of it, but I want you to think about this. Maybe you'll send me an email. Maybe we'll follow up after the draft is over. If you send me an email, I'll get your thoughts next week. I got two questions. The first question is, what would another NFL team give up on draft day today, right? On draft day, what would another NFL team give up to the Chiefs in exchange for Patrick Mahomes? What would a team give up? Well, here's what I thought. This should be fairly easy. First of all, this is a ridiculous exercise, but it is mostly to demonstrate about the draft, about what's really important in the NFL, and that your seven picks or your depth or whatever is not as important as finding the quarterback. And we've lived that as Chiefs fans. We have lived that for decades without that guy. With good quarterbacks, certainly, plenty of good quarterbacks, but not a great one, not a Hall of Famer, not a game changer, not one that could go to five, six, seven Super Bowls. I don't know how many the Chiefs are going to go to. It's going to be a bunch. He's a great player. He's a great player early in his career, which is always a great sign, and he hasn't just done it once. He's done it for 3 years. He's been phenomenal. Three straight AFC championship games at Arrowhead Stadium. The Chiefs are going to do this for quite a while. They're going to be really, really hard to beat. So what would another team give up on draft day today in exchange for Patrick Mahomes? Well, I think this would be easy. The Chiefs could get every draft pick this year that team has. So let's just assume the team has seven draft picks. All seven. Well, the Jaguars are loaded with draft picks this year. Would the Jaguars trade everything they have on the board over the next 3 days in exchange for Patrick Mahomes? Yes, they would. Then the Chiefs would get Trevor Lawrence. That's a bad deal for the Chiefs. you don't know about Trevor Lawrence or any of the other quarterbacks for that matter. You don't know. Would another team give up all their picks this year and their current starting quarterback and their first round pick the next 3 years? If it was my team, if I were the Denver Broncos, right, just looking for quarterback, just dying to find a guy, would I give up every pick this year? Drew Locke, who's their current starting quarterback. Yes, I'd give up all those picks and Drew Locke, and I would give up my first round pick the next 3 years in exchange for Patrick Mahomes. I'd get creative in free agency. I'd keep my draft choices second through seventh. I'd do some things, right? I'd give that up if I were a team. I'd give up every pick this year and my starting quarterback, my current quarterback, and the first round pick the next 3 years to the Chiefs for Patrick Mahomes. I would do that. There's no question I would do that. How could you not do that? Go fill in the pieces with your roster. Figure it out. Beat the cap. Get creative. Sign some free agents. It'll be okay. Of course, the Chiefs would never go for any of that. I don't think the Chiefs would take that deal. Why would you trade? He's untradeable. He's the single most untradeable commodity in sports. You can make an argument for even like LeBron James is a tradable commodity. Or Steph Curry. You can. They're older players. They've won championships where they are. If you thought, okay, they're nearing the end of their career, we can really set ourselves up for the next decade, stockpiling all this talent we can go get. You can make arguments in other sports. But you can't make any argument for trading Patrick Mahomes. And you can't acquire him. You cannot offer the Chiefs enough unless you can offer cash, which is against the rules. So let's flip the question around just for fun. If you're the Chiefs, what would it take to give up Patrick Mahomes? Well, I think it would take up a lot. It would take up a lot of first-round picks, first of all. It would take a lot of that, a lot of picks that the Chiefs would want, and then a giant pile of cash. Like, if you were the owner of the Chiefs, you're in business to run a business. It's been fun being in a couple Super Bowls, but what's it worth to keep going? What if a really rich owner said, we'll give you our next 5 years' first-round draft choices, including this year, And you know, let's say it's Jacksonville. Let's say you get the number one pick this year. You can go get any quarterback you want this year. Would you trade Mahomes for the next 5 years, number ones, and $500 million in cash? I mean, isn't that what it would take? Wouldn't it take like $500 million if you were Clark Hunt to even consider parting with Patrick Mahomes? I mean, it'd have to be financial. It couldn't just be the football component. There's no football component that makes sense at any level and in any case. There simply isn't. So I just asked the question, what would it take? $500 million? I don't even know what the number would be. I mean, this is like asking if you were a billionaire and somebody kidnapped your kid. Well, yeah, everything you've got, you'd pay to get your kid back, right? Every single thing that you have. Well, the Chiefs are the same way in reverse. It would take every single thing you have to get Patrick Mahomes. That would be the ransom. And I'm not sure that would be even enough. But that shows you, yes, this is fun. The draft will be very entertaining tonight. There's a lot of quarterbacks going high. There's marquee players. There's going to be some big stars. These are going to be players that we're going to be thrilled watching and enjoy their play for many years to come. I am not diminishing or bashing on the NFL draft. I especially like Thursday night. I like the first round. I find it entertaining. I like to see the moves that are made. I like to see what teams are doing to try to catch the Chiefs. This is the most fun the draft's ever been because the Chiefs aren't even in it and other teams are just trying to catch the Chiefs. And I think that's fantastic. It's fun. It's entertaining. We're going to enjoy it. I like the first round of the draft. I'm all about it. But it is the most overvalued thing in sport. I mean, for decades, we're going to draft the best available player. We're going to be so good in the draft. We've got our board. We've done all our mocks. We've done this. We've done that. It doesn't matter. You have to have the quarterback. If you don't have the quarterback, once in a blue moon, you can find yourself in a conference championship game. If you're really good at all the other stuff, if you outdraft everybody and you have the best linebackers, and the best depth, and an offensive line that's a bunch of road graders, and a good running back, and a quarterback that's okay. If you have all those things, you can find yourself in a championship game. You might even find your way to the Super Bowl. Most times, those teams lose. Heck, you might sneak one in. Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl. It can happen. You can win the NFL's lottery by doing it that way. But it is a Powerball ticket. You need all the numbers and the Powerball in order to make it happen. The way to succeed in this league is to have one of about four or five quarterbacks in the league right now, the best of which is Mahomes, and that's your best shot. That's why he's been at the title game at home 3 years in a row. That's why. Because he's Patrick freaking Mahomes. And the Chiefs are going to be good for a long time. And there will be years that they are great and they are dominant. I think at some point in Mahomes' career, the Chiefs are going to have just some historic rout. I don't know that they'll go 16-0, but they might. there might be a 14-2 season where they go into the postseason and just destroy people. And America hates it. And they're like, they took all the fun out of the league. I think the Chiefs at some point will be capable of that. I think at this point, it's probably the next wave of skill position players. I think Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce are getting a little older. I don't think the depth at receiver is where it needs to be. I don't think the running back is great. But there will be a time where it all comes together again. And it may be 5 years from now, maybe 7 years from now. And all the other guys on the team right now are gone. Those guys are gone. Patrick Mahomes is going to be here forever. He's going to get all new casts of characters as he goes. And there will probably be a point in time where the Chiefs make some blockbuster deals and load up on frontline offensive skill players, and Mahomes just goes crazy. Because why wouldn't you? it's a proven thing. Why wouldn't you? I think it's kind of fun. So sit back and enjoy the draft tonight and ask yourself this: what would any of these sad sack teams that are flailing around in the top 10 or 15 picks tonight, what would they do to get Patrick freaking Mahomes on their team? And that's why I've always felt like the draft is important, because you have to find Patrick Mahomes in the draft. The Chiefs were able to do that through a stroke of genius. I credited them with being lucky, okay? They liked Mahomes a lot. They clearly liked Mahomes a lot. They traded up for him. They made the move. They emphatically said, we believe in this guy. They did, okay? But they didn't emphatically trade up to the number one pick. All right, they waited and waited and waited as he fell, and nobody took him. They're like, crap, we can trade up to 10 and get the guy. They didn't say to themselves, let's package up. If they knew Patrick Mahomes was what he is, they would have offered, who picked first? Was it the Bears and Trubisky, or did he go number two? Somebody pick in front of the Bears? I think so. Whoever it was, did the Chiefs offer that team three number one picks for that spot? No, they didn't. So the Chiefs didn't know either. They liked him, they believed in him, but they didn't know they had this. This has been fabulous. This has been spectacular. And the question is, what would a team give up to get him on this draft day? And what would it take if you were the Chiefs? Anything short of $500 million cash probably wouldn't get the deal done. All right, the Royals get the split in Pittsburgh. I like that. The Royals bats were hot on Wednesday night. Soler hit it hard the opposite way. I love seeing that. I like seeing him go to right field. Benintendi with a big hit in this game after Pittsburgh had come back against Mike Minor, who struggled in this game. They pulled back within a run, and Benintendi gets a big two-run double, and it stretched the Royals' lead back out. That was solid. Dozier hit the ball hard several times in this game. Salvador Perez had three hits. This was good stuff. All right, the Royals got the split here against a team they're not going to see a lot. I think they do see him again at Kauffman Stadium, maybe in a little over a month. But here's what the Royals have straight ahead of them, because this is getting serious. I know it's early. We talked about it on yesterday's podcast a little bit, but it's getting serious because of what is before the Royals now in the next basically 30 days, in essentially the month of May. I know that Friday's game against the Twins in Minnesota is not May, all right? So it doesn't classically or officially count as a game in May. But let's just say it does. We'll add Friday's game in. And through the end of May, the Royals will play 23 games in their division. They will play 17 straight in the division coming up beginning Friday. 7 versus the White Sox. I mean, they are locked in here, folks. They also, before May 23rd, all right, because they got a lot of games here against the Twins and the White Sox, and that's important. These White Sox games are very important. 7 games against the White Sox in the next 2.5 weeks is a big, big deal. The White Sox are the team. They're the team to watch. They're the challenge. They're the one that is supposed to win the division. They have the Hall of Fame manager. They acquired all this talent. They've got their young talent just reaching their absolute perfect stride in their career. Their career year should be coming up. It should be the White Sox, right? They should be the team. Royals play them 7 times in the next couple weeks. Those are big games. I mean, you can't go out and go 2-5, right? It sounds like a low bar the way the Royals are playing, but you got to go 3-4. Can't do any worse than 3-4 against the White Sox. The White Sox probably have the wherewithal to pitch up and dominate the Royals, because when teams pitch against the Royals can look really bad. Now, the Royals starting pitching is 4th best in baseball. Starting pitching. That's before Minor's effort against Pittsburgh, which wasn't great, but they'd yet to have a starter on the road trip give up more than two runs. I mean, the pitching's been very good. That's how the Royals been winning. They haven't really been doing it by offense, although the second game in Pittsburgh was a big offensive night, and we liked seeing that. It was against a crappy pitcher and some lame bullpen guys. So they're major league players. That's why they call them averages. You have a batting average is .280, that's why. You get three hits on the night the crappy pitchers go, and the night some guy that's a Cy Young, your Beaver's pitching for Cleveland, you try to scratch out one if you possibly can, and you know you're probably going to lose unless Duffy goes out and throws seven innings of two-hit ball or something like that. So 17 straight in the division, seven versus the White Sox, but they will also have those 10 games against Detroit by May 23rd. So it isn't just about the head-to-head against the Twins and the White Sox. It's about staying afloat if you do have a little problem against either the Twins or the White Sox, and they probably will. I suspect one of those teams, when they play all these games against each other, one of those teams will have a pretty good winning record against the Royals. I don't know if they play the Twins six or seven times in this stretch. I didn't look. But it stands to reason one of these teams could be two or three games over .500 against the Royals over the next month. And if they do that, think about the 10 games that the Royals play against Detroit by May 23rd. All right, they've already played four, and they've gone 4-0. They're going to play six more. Let's just call it 4-2. So the Royals have a chance to go 8-2 in a month's time against Detroit. I mean, that's going to all boats rise on that tide. That's exactly what you're looking for. But 23 division games, don't laugh this off. I know it's early in the season. You play a boatload of games in your division, but this is the big stretch. This is the big early stretch, and this will set the tone for this division. And the Royals have beautifully put themselves seven games over .500 in a position where if they can just get out of May at seven games above .500, you're going to like where they are going into the summer. Now, they certainly can do better than that. What you don't want to do is give it all back, and you can't give it back in the division. You've got to be very, very protective and careful of what you do in your division because these are the games that matter most, and they're the teams that certainly know each other oh so well, and it matters so much. This episode of Kevin Keatsman Has Issues is brought to you by Buck Roofing and Construction online at rbuckroofing.com. Ron Buck's team is available 24/7 for emergencies, so you can sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head this spring. He is offering free roof inspections. It's been a hard winter. You ain't climbing up there. I'm not climbing up there. Have it inspected. When was the last time you did that? It's free. Mention the podcast. Email him. Rbuckroofing.com is the website. Or just call 384-2680 and you'll sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head. Joslyn's Jewelry, 95th and Antioch in Overland Park. Joslyn'sJewelry.com. The jeweler you'll recommend to your friends and family just in time for Mother's Day. Gift for your mom or the mother of your children is right there at Joslyn's. You can spend a little or a lot, depending on whether it's your mom or the mother of your children, I'm guessing. I think most guys would get a little something for their mom and a lot of something for the mom of their kids, right? I always say it that way. I'm not trying to say it's not your wife. It's Mother's Day. I don't know. I developed that a long time ago on radio. I just said for your mother or the mother of your kids. Yeah, I mean wife. It's not wife's day. It's Mother's Day. So that's the way I refer to it. Don't you think most guys, hey, this is entertainment right here, right? This is a podcast. This is free programming right here. I'm supposed to be telling you about Joslyn's Jewelry. What do you think the percentage of guys, what do you think the average guy would spend on his mom versus his wife for Mother's Day would be? What would be a good number? What's a good ratio? And I would think maybe 2 or 3 to 1 is probably where I land. You know, I'm not a big spender on things like this. I like to do surprises, you know, times when it's not a holiday or whatever. So like if I spent 100 on Jessica, I might get like a floral arrangement for my mom. That's 30 or 40 bucks, something like that. Does that sound about right? Is that okay? They've got things under $100 at Joslyn's. Or if you're really happy with either one of them and you want to get something really pretty and meaningful or some birthstones from the kids, you can do that. Joslyn's Jewelry, 95th and Antioch in Overland Park. Fry Orthodontics has 12 area locations doing something nobody else is doing anywhere in the Midwest. It's free retainers for life and Invisalign for the same price as braces. Call Fry Orthodontics at 469 9191 for details, or to schedule that first appointment, which is free if you mention Kevin Kietzman Has Issues. Again, it's 469-9191, and give us a mention in there. I could be wrong. Jeremy may correct me on this. I think it is harder for them to track sometimes where their patients come from and the people that they have. So if you've been a patient there or you're going there or whatever, just give us a mention, will you? Let us know that you're part of the family and you're all in with Fry Orthodontics, where your smile is just the start. Okay, they didn't call this the State of the Union address with Sleepy Joe on Wednesday night. What did they? I don't even know what they called it. What did they call this thing? The address to Congress, whatever. I'm calling it the State of the Un address. It's not the State of the Union, which would have been nice, but the State of the Un, because I found nothing but uns in this. It seemed unimportant. It looked unpresidential. It was most certainly unimpressive. And I don't know how anybody could think it was anything other than uninspiring. In fact, if I didn't know better, I would say that the Democrats' game plan is to lull America to sleep. Put them in a trance. Hypnotize America. Comatize America. Bore them to death. I don't know why they try to explain what they're doing with the Jobs Act and all these other things. They're just spending the money. They're not really trying to justify it. Why are you trying to convince people about this? You've won. You're in power. You're doing it. You're going to do whatever the hell you want anyway, and people are going to let you know whether they liked it or not. That's what's going to happen. Why defend it? Why explain it? I mean, it was so entertaining when Trump did it. It was wild. It was raucous. There was hate in the room, and it was so wild. It was like a sporting event, and he said, we're doing this, and here's why it's great for America. And Joe Biden is just boring. In the first minute of his State of the Un address, he said he's here to talk about crisis and opportunity. In the first minute, Joe Biden used the term crisis and opportunity twice. Does anything describe the Democrat Party more than that term? Is there anything you can possibly think of that is the essential play, like a Patrick Mahomes scramble and a 40-yard heave downfield to Tyreek Hill? Is there anything more essential to their playbook than crisis and opportunity? And it's right there on the prompter. They're not even hiding this stuff anymore. Now, what he didn't say is we create crisis, right? Like the pandemic crisis is over. The COVID crisis is over. Everyone in that room last night was vaccinated. And yet they were double masking and sitting four seats apart. It's theater. It's a joke. Keep the crisis going. If you keep the crisis going, there is opportunity for the Democrat Party. They create crisis for their own opportunity. He said it twice in the first minute. I couldn't believe it. To me, it's like a curse word. I mean, the way I look at America and politics, and I'm a cynic on these things, right? I'm skeptical of all these politicians. When I hear them say crisis and opportunity together, it's cringeworthy. These are people that literally want to create crisis or convince you of crisis for their own opportunity. And so they did that. And after he talked about crisis and opportunity, he talked about how he inherited the worst situation of any president in the history of presidents, basically what he said. Then he took all the credit for the vaccine after inheriting the worst pandemic in 100 years. He said it was the greatest logistical achievement in U.S. history. I don't think it was the greatest logistical achievement in U.S. history. I'm pretty sure there were some generals coming up with war plans during World War II that maybe did some things logistically greater than this. Then becoming president after the plan for the vaccine is already in place, after Trump has already set it up with FedEx and UPS and the Postal Service and the military to deliver the vaccine. I mean, this is absurd that he do people believe this? When he stands up there and takes credit for the vaccine and takes credit for the greatest logistical achievement in U.S. history, do people buy that? And then he said something that was really weird. I mentioned it on an earlier podcast a couple of months ago when the vaccine first came out, and they were doing, and they were, no, it was testing, I think. I think it was testing at Arrowhead Stadium. And they were also handing out, you know, free food or whatever. And I was looking at a live picture on Fox 4 of Arrowhead Stadium and all these cars. I said, look at there. There's Range Rovers. There's some Benzes. I said, look at these cars in line to get the free stuff. They were handing out free stuff and giving you the free COVID test and, you know, all this other stuff. And Biden mentioned this in his speech. He said, you know, there's people in this country lining up cars after cars, mile after mile, lining up to get free boxes of food. People in nice cars. He said, I never thought I'd see the day in this country that we'd see something like that. Through no fault of their own, as he covers his ass. What he meant to say is, we were so happy to see that we devastated people with this crisis in such a way that they were taking their Range Rovers that they can't make their payments on anymore because their company's gone under or they've lost their job, you know, whatever it may be, and that they're lined up getting food from us because now we're teaching them never to count on themselves, that we will take care of them. That's what this is all about, is creating a dependent class of people. And Biden said, I never thought I'd see cars like that lined up to get free food. And it was like, I could read right through it. It was with glee. It's something that, I didn't think of it that way. I looked at it like, people are working at home. They're not as busy. Everybody's bored. There's free stuff. Go get it. I've seen that. I've seen food handouts at schools. I've seen nice cars. It never rang my bell that somebody driving a $90,000 Rover is broke and they're getting ready to have their car repoed. It just didn't catch me that way. And I didn't feel sorry for somebody in a Benz or a Rover going to pick up free food and think, wow, what I thought was there's some bored people out there thinking, let's just go get some free stuff. I worked in radio for a long time. Let me tell you, people will do anything to win a radio contest. It's nuts, right? There are people that if they hear free, they're on it. They pounce on it. And good for them. They should. My guess is most of those people in those cars weren't broke at all, that they were just getting free stuff. I have a relative who is wealthy, not exceedingly wealthy, not like millions and millions, but wealthy, retired at a young age, living well. They don't live off a lot of money. They don't do anything extravagant. They don't have fancy cars. They don't live in a fancy house. They don't travel a lot to fancy locales or anything like that. They're very basic, simple people that just have, you know, money. They will do anything to get something free or to save money, or to work an angle to save money. Nothing against the law there. Probably need more Americans like that, right? That's what I saw when I saw those people in line. That's funny, because what Joe Biden saw was, oh boy, we wrecked some people's lives and they're dependent on. That's what he was talking about, is that the government will bail them out and that we're going to do it again and we're going to keep doing it. And that's why it was, to me, it was just completely unimpressive, uninspiring. There was no energy in the room. Everyone had been vaccinated. They're all wearing masks or double masks. Could the leaders of our country have looked worse than they did at the State of the Union address on Wednesday night? And I'm not trying to be bigoted here, okay? And I'm not trying to pick on people. We've got a problem with term limits. And this isn't practical on paper. I'm not talking about any issue. I kept seeing the shots in that room. These people that are so entrenched in Washington, D.C. This was the best example of swampiness I've ever seen. Because when the room is packed, there's other people in there. All right? It's not all the biggest of bigwigs. All right? This was the muckety-mucks. This was the biggest swamp creatures in D.C. gathered and a whole bunch of empty seats around them. So you don't really notice on those nights. But you found out, you saw the ruling class in this room. And the ruling class is old. It is tired. It is sick. They were coughing. The idiots had their cell phones going off because their aide wasn't sitting there next to them or whatever, holding their phone for them. Could our leaders have looked worse than at the State of the Union address? And I'm not just talking about the Democrats. I don't know what the hell happened to Senator Blunt, but his eye was bloodied up like he just face planted onto concrete or something. They looked awful. Mitch McConnell looked dead. He looked dead. Nancy Pelosi, unbelievable. Warmed over death, let's be honest. Biden looks like a mummy. It's just shocking how pathetically old and entrenched and low energy and sad looking these people are. Nobody looked happy. Even the Democrats, when they clapped and whatnot, they never looked happy. They look like they're miserable. They're looking for the next miserable thing to bitch about. That's what they're doing because it's just that's their existence. That's how they stay in office. That's how they all got rich. The wealth in that room was staggering, by the way. Doesn't matter. Black, white, young, old, male, female, none of that mattered. The wealth in that room was staggering. I kept seeing person after person that I kept thinking, they didn't have much when they got there, and now they all have tens, if not hundreds, of millions of dollars. All of them, for spending a lifetime there, sucking off the teat, bleeding us dry of our taxes, hands out to all of the corporations and lobbyists and any group that is willing to fund their campaign or personally fund stuff for them, all of them loaded. Loaded and entrenched. It was the swampiest thing I've ever seen. The state of the unaddressed. And I don't mean to be mean to these people, but they got to go. Both sides of the aisle. We got to get some term limits in there. I mean, we term limit the president out after two terms. How do we not have anything in Congress or the Senate? We just let them keep getting elected again. I haven't thought, folks, I'm not even, you may email me or whatever, or get back to me and say, that's the dumbest thing ever, Kevin, that'll kill the Republicans. You may be right. I don't know. I just know this doesn't work. That people that are entrenched there getting fat off of all of us is not the way this thing was drawn up on the board. The way it was drawn up on the board is somebody from my community or my state goes to Washington to represent me. And it is not their career. That there is a session of Congress or a session of Senate, and they go, and the laws come up, and they vote, and then they come back home, and they have a job or a business or whatever. That's what representation is, that you live where you're from. You travel to D.C. to cast your votes. It's the opposite way around. These people are all D.C. entrenched. They come home every now and then to shake a couple hands and raise a little money and say they're Kansan or Missourian or whatever. It's bass ackwards. We know it is. It doesn't work. And I've never had it look the way it looked at this state of the unaddressed. Maybe it was the spacing. Maybe it was the fact that it was just the muckety mucks of the muckety mucks there. But my God, they looked old and tired and sad and sick. Some of them looked sick. What was Joe Manchin doing? Joe Manchin is healthy, I think. He was sitting sideways in a chair somewhere like up in the rafters out of the way taking notes in a book. What was that? Well, I'm not going to sit with the Democrats or with the Republicans. Where was he? Why was he sitting sideways? What was up with Joe Manchin? I don't know what that was. I don't know what any of it was. Cell phones going off? You're one of the leaders of the country and you don't know how to turn your ringer off? Or you're so old you forgot to turn it off? I don't know. This is the presidential address to Congress. I think you're accustomed to turning your phone off to go in there. It's staggering to me. I talk about sports all the time on this podcast of the people that and I'm going to compile a list one of these days of the most unimpressive people that I was ever around in sports. And most of these would be in leadership positions. I'm not going to pick on players. Athletes are a different deal. They're almost off limits. If you are God-given ability, if you're born, you win the gene pool and you've got world-class athleticism and you can play at the highest level in any given sport, I'm not going to pick on you for being dumb. That's just not even fair. That isn't right. But if you ascend as a manager or an executive or some sort of a coach and you get all the way to the top and you're just exposed for the doofus you are, that's worthy of criticism, I think. And we see these people all the time in sports and they exist everywhere. And it scares the hell out of me that most of them are sitting there in Washington, D.C. with their eye bloodied up or falling asleep because it's too late, or they don't really know how to tie their tie or comb their hair like Bernie Sanders. The man can't tie a tie and he can't comb his hair. I mean, it's a small thing. But it does matter. You need to portray some confidence. At least they got makeup people for Joe. I mean, he looks like a healthy mummy. He's not. But they dress him up with good makeup and they get his hair all hair plugs just right and stuff. You know, all those are hair plugs. That ain't real hair. I mean, they got it all just right. He's got money and he's got it quite. This Hollywood, man. That's Hollywood makeup. They got the best of the best, but at least they do that for him and they tie his tie for him. It's impeccable. He looks great. He doesn't sound very good. I mean, when Kamala Harris, oh boy, I'm not sure I can even say this. When Kamala Harris looks like maybe she's the most competent person in the room, that's a sad deal. Now, I didn't see a shot of Josh Hawley. He's competent. I'm guessing he was in there somewhere. Maybe I missed it. I was flipping the baseball around, different things. But my God, just what a sad, sad deal. Joe Biden said in his State of the Union address, no one nation can handle all the problems in the world. You lose. Wrong. He was basically saying, you know, I told President Xi, we welcome competition. We don't want to fight you. We're not your enemy. We're not going to fight a war. We don't want to do that. But we welcome the competition. Well, no, there's atrocities taking place in the world, some of which are at your own southern border with 12-year-old girls getting gang raped for weeks before they get here and taking day after pregnancy pills every day and being scarred for life. It's pathetic. You're part of the problem. There are atrocities and things all over the world. And I've never heard anyone, as the leader of the greatest country in the history of civilization, stand up. I can't imagine any other president than this one to stand up and say, no one nation can handle all the problems going on. And he wasn't talking about putting out every fire in the world. He was talking about pandemics. He was talking about economics. He was talking about the threats of nuclear in Iran. He was talking about Russia and China and all these. No one nation can handle all the problems. Well, Joe, here's our history. Since 1776, we pretty much have handled every problem in the world. Pretty much. I'll listen to your argument of one we didn't solve. I'll listen. Not sure I'll agree with you. We've pretty much handled it all and continue to have the biggest economy, the greatest innovation, the most wonderful inventions, and the worst political party on earth trying to destroy the company, destroy the country from what it once was and what it was founded upon and what it was built to be. It's a coup. They raided Giuliani's home on Wednesday. When they got there, they took everything. All the electronics, all the computers, everything except what? The family was there, said, take that hard drive. That hard drive right there is a copy of Hunter Biden's hard drive. Take that. And the FBI left it. They didn't touch that. They took everything else. Wouldn't it be funny if Giuliani was like lying and that was the one with all the dirty Giuliani stuff on it? And he said, hey, that's Hunter Biden's. You can take that one, knowing they wouldn't take it. And that was the one that would have gotten Giuliani in trouble. Wouldn't that be funny? It's not funny, though. They came after anybody associated with Trump. They're allowing anyone associated with the Democrats to go. Hunter Biden's running around free. He's a felon. He should have been charged with felony gun charges. Certainly drug possession charges, probably conspiracy with other countries and fraud and tax problems. He was being investigated for taxes in December, but now he's not because his dad's president. Meanwhile, people who were peaceful inside the Capitol shouldn't have been there. Some of them are still in jail and haven't been let out. But the people who set the Minneapolis Fire Department, the Minneapolis Police Department on fire, they got out the next day. None of this makes any sense, folks. It's awful. And I was completely and totally embarrassed to hear my president say, no country can handle all this. He's essentially saying, we are not good at, as Americans, we can't handle all this. I strongly refuse that. I refuse that notion that we can't do what we want globally, that we are not the best, that it is too much, that the times are too heavy, that this is too complicated and difficult. We have, in my estimation, led the way in saving the world from COVID-19. There's no doubt in my mind that the United States was the biggest player in all of this. And we continue to do that because we got a whole bunch of Americans that don't want the vaccine. So now what are we doing with it? We're sending it to India. India's got a problem. They need more vaccine. We're there to help them. What's their population? 5 times ours, they need help. They got too many people in India. And so we help and we save, even though we're not the biggest country in the world. We help and we save and we solve the world's problems. It's what we do. And to hear a leader, well, Obama did some of this, to hear him stand up and be negative and say we can't, ugh, awful. The state of the unaddress. If you sat through it, God bless you. I'm going to guess you didn't. Hopefully this recap was helpful for you. As always, thank you so much for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Please remember to hit that follow, like, or subscribe button. It makes a great deal of difference. Tell your friends about the podcast if you don't mind. I'd appreciate that greatly. Have a wonderful day. We'll catch you next time on KKHI.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. For additional VIP-only podcasts, live streaming of breaking news, sports wagering tips from the experts, and in-person special events, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron for as little as $5 per month.
This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.